bellow, gaily.
Right, let them all come. The scanty, daringly short skirt, riding up at the knee to show a peep of white pantalette, is a potent weapon, and transparent stockings, emerald gartered, with long straight seam trailing up beyond the knee, appeal to the better instincts of the blasé man about town. Learn the smooth mincing walk on 4-inch Louis Ken's heels, the Grecian bend with provoking croup, the thighs fluorescent, knees modestly kissing. Bring all your powers of fascination to bear on them. Pander to their gomorran vices.
Bloom bends his blushing face into his armpit and simpers with forefinger in mouth.
Oh, I know what you're hinting at now.
Bellow.
What else are you good for? An impotent thing like you.
He stoops and, peering, pokes with his fan rudely under the fat suet folds of Bloom's haunches.
Up, up, Manx cat. What have we here? Where's your curly teapot gone to? Or who docked it on you, cocky ollie? Sing, birdie, sing. It's as limp as a boy of six is doing his pooley behind a cart. Buy a bucket or sell your pump.
Loudly.
Can you do a man's job?
Bloom.
Eccle Street?
Bellow. Sarcastically.
I wouldn't hurt your feelings for the world, but there's a man of brawn in possession there. The tables are turned, my gay young fellow. He is something like a full-grown outdoor man. Well for you, you muff, if you had that weapon with knobs and lumps and warts all over it. He shot his bolt, I can tell you. Foot to foot, knee to knee, belly to belly, bubs to breast. He's no eunuch. A shock of red hair he has, sticking out of him behind like a furze bush. Wait for 9 months, my lad. Holy ginger, it's kicking and coughing up and down in her guts already. That makes you wild, don't it? Touches the spot.
He spits in contempt.
Spittoon!
Bloom.
I was indecently treated. I informed the police. £100. Unmentionable. I...
Bellow.
Would if you could, lame duck. A downpour we want, not your drizzle.
Bloom.
To drive me mad. Moll. I forgot. Forgive, Moll. We still...
Bellow, ruthlessly.
No, Leopold Bloom. All is changed by woman's will since you slept horizontal in Sleepy Hollow, your night of 20 years. Return and see.
Old Sleepy Hollow calls over the wold. Sleepy Hollow.
Rip Van Winkle. Rip Van Winkle.
Bloom. In tattered moccasins, with a rusty fowling piece, tiptoeing, finger-tipping, his haggard, bony, bearded face peering through the diamond panes, cries out,
I see her. It's she. the first night at Matt Dillon's. But that dress, the green, and her hair is dyed gold, and he...
Bello laughs mockingly.
That's your daughter, you owl, with a Mullingar student.
Millie Bloom, fair-haired, green-vested, slim-sandaled, her blue scarf in the sea-wind simply swirling, breaks from the arms of her lover and calls, her young eyes wonder-wide. Millie.
My, it's Papley. But, oh, Papley, how old you've grown.
This ends Disc 28. Ulysses, Disc 29.
Bello.
Changed, eh? Our what-not, our writing table where we never wrote, Aunt Hegarty's armchair, our classic reprints of old masters. A man and his men friends are living there in clover. The cuckoo's rest, why not? How many women had you, eh? Following them up dark streets, flat foot, exciting them by your smothered grunts, what? You male prostitute. Blameless dames with parcels of groceries. Turn about. Sauce for the goose, my gander, oh.
Bloom.
They, I,
Bellow, cuttingly.
The heel marks will stamp the brusselette carpet you bought at Wren's auction. In their horseplay with Moll, the romp, to find the buck flea in her breeches, they will deface the little statue you carried home in the rain for art's sake. They will violate the secrets of your bottom drawer. Pages will be torn from your handbook of astronomy to make them pipe spills. And they will spit in your 10-shilling brass fender from Hampton Leedham's.
Bloom. 10 and 6.
The act of low scoundrels. Let me go. I will return. I will prove...
A voice.
Swear.
Bloom clenches his fists and crawls forward, a bowie knife between his teeth. Bello.
As a paying guest or a kept man, too late. You have made your second best bed, and others must lie in it. Your epitaph is written. You are down and out, and don't you forget it, old bean.
Bloom.
Justice, all Ireland versus one, has nobody.
He bites his thumb. Bello.
Die and be damned to you, if you have any sense of decency or grace about you. I can give you a rare old wine that'll send you skipping to hell and back. Sign a will and leave us any coin you have. If you have none, see you damn well get it. Steal it. Rob it. We'll bury you in our shrubbery, Jakes, where you'll be dead and dirty, with old Cuck Cohen, my step-nephew I married. The bloody old gouty procurator and sodomite with a crick in his neck, and my other 10 or 11 husbands, whatever the buggers' names were, suffocated in the one cesspool.
He explodes in a loud, phlegmy laugh.
We'll manure you, Mr. Flower.
He pipes scoffingly.
Bye-bye, Poldy. Bye-bye, Papley.
Bloom clasps his head.
My willpower, memory. I have sinned. I have suffered.
He weeps tearlessly. Bellow sneers.
Cry, babby. Crocodile tears.
Bloom, broken, closely veiled for the sacrifice, sobs, his face to the earth. The passing bell is heard. Dark-shawled figures of the circumcised, in sackcloth and ashes, stand by the wailing wall. M. Shalomowitz, Joseph Goldwater, Moses Herzog, Harris Rosenberg, M. Moisel, J. Citron, Minnie Watchman, P. Mastiansky, the Reverend Leopold Abramovitz Chazen. With swaying arms, they wail in Numa over the recreant Bloom. The circumcised. In dark, guttural chant, as they cast Dead Sea fruit upon him, no flowers.
Shema, Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Voices, sighing.
So he's gone. Ah, yes. Yes, indeed.
Bloom? Never heard of him.
No. Queer kind of chap. There's the widow. That's so. Ah, yes.
From the sooty pyre, the flame of gum camphor ascends. The pall of incense smoke screens and disperses. Out of her oak frame, a nymph with hair unbound, lightly clad in tea-brown art colours, descends from her grotto, and passing under interlacing yews, stands over Bloom. The yews, their leaves whispering.
Sister, our sister, shh.
The nymph, softly.
Mortal.
Kindly.
Nay, dost not weepest?
Bloom crawls jellily forward under the boughs, streaked by sunlight, with dignity.
This position, I felt it was expected of me. Force of habit.
The nymph.
Mortal. You found me in evil company. High kickers, Costa picnic makers, pugilists, popular generals, immoral panto boys in flesh tights, and the nifty shimmy dancers, La Aurora and Carini musical act, the hit of the century. I was hidden in cheap pink paper that smelt of rock oil.
I was surrounded by the stale smut of clubmen. Stories to disturb callow youth. Ads for transparencies, trued-up dice and bust pads. Proprietary articles, and why wear a truss with testimonial from ruptured gentlemen. Useful hints to the married.
Bloom lifts a turtle head towards her lap.
We have met before, on another star.
The nymph, sadly.
Rubber goods, never-ripped brand as supplied to the aristocracy. Corsets for men. I cure fits or money refunded. Unsolicited testimonials for Professor Wallman's wonderful chest exuber. My bust developed 4 inches in 3 weeks. Reports Mrs. Gus Rublin with photo.
Bloom.
You mean photo bits?
The nymph.
I do. You bore me away, framed me in oak and tinsel, set me above your marriage couch. Unseen, one summer eve, you kissed me in 4 places, and with loving pencil you shaded my eyes, my bosom, and my shame.
Bloom humbly kisses her long hair.
Your classic curves, beautiful immortal, I was glad to look on you, to praise you, a thing of beauty, almost to pray.
The nymph.
During dark nights, I heard your praise.
Bloom. Quickly.
Yes, yes. You mean that I... Sleep reveals the worst side of everyone, children perhaps excepted. I know I fell out of bed, or rather was pushed. Steel wine is said to cure snoring. For the rest, there is that English invention, a pamphlet of which I received some days ago, incorrectly addressed. It claims to afford a noiseless, inoffensive vent.
He sighs.
'Twas ever thus. Frailty, thy name is marriage.
The nymph, her fingers in her ears.
And words, they are not in my dictionary.
Bloom,
you understood them?
The ewes,
shh.
The nymph covers her face with her hands.
What have I not seen in that chamber? What must my eyes look down on?
Bloom, apologetically.
I know. Soiled personal linen, wrong side up with care. The quoits are loose. From Gibraltar by long sea, long ago.
The nymph bends her head.
Worse, worse.
Bloom reflects precautiously.
That antiquated commode, it wasn't her weight. She scaled just 11 stone 9. She put on 9 pounds after weaning. It was a crack and want of glue, eh? And that absurd orange keyed utensil, which has only one handle.
The sound of a waterfall is heard in bright cascade. The waterfall.
Pula fuka, pula fuka. Pula fuka, pula fuka.
The ewes mingling their bows.
Listen, whisper. She is right, our sister. We grew by pula fuka waterfall. We gave shade on languorous summer days.
John Wise Nolan. In the background, in Irish National Forester's uniform, doffs his plumed hat.
Prosper! Give shade on languorous days, trees of Ireland!
The ewes, murmuring.
Who came to Pula Fuca with the high school excursion? Who left his nut-questing classmates to seek our shade?
Bloom, scared.
High school of Pula? Nemo? Not in full possession of faculties. Concussion. Run over by tram.
The echo.
Sham.
Bloom. Pigeon-breasted. Bottle-shouldered. Padded in nondescript juvenile grey and black striped suit. Too small for him. White tennis shoes, bordered stockings with turnover tops, and a red school cap with badge.
I was in my teens, a growing boy. A little then sufficed. A jolting car, the mingling odours of the ladies' cloakroom and lavatory, the throng penned tight on the old royal stairs, for they love crushes, instinct of the herd, and the dark, sex-smelling theatre unbridles vice, even a price list of their hosiery. And then the heat. There were sunspots that summer. End of school and tipsy cake. Halcyon days. Halcyon days. High school boys in blue and white football jerseys and shorts. Master Donald Turnbull, Master Abraham Chatterton, Master Owen Goldberg, Master Jack Meredith, Master Percy Apjohn stand in a clearing of the trees and shout to Master Leopold Bloom. The Halcyon Days. Mackerel! Live us again! Hooray! They cheer. Bloom. Hobbledehoy, warm-gloved, mamma-mufflered, starred with spent snowballs, struggles to rise. Again, I feel 16. What a lark! Let's ring all the bells in Montague Street. He cheers feebly. Hooray for the high school! The echo. Fool! The ewes, rustling. She is right, our sister. Whisper. Whispered kisses are heard in all the wood. Faces of hamadryads peep out from the boles and among the leaves and break, blossoming into bloom. Who profaned our silent shade? The nymph. Coyly through parting fingers. There, in the open air. The ewes sweeping downward. Sister, yes, and on our virgin sward. The waterfall. Pula fuca, pula fuca, fuca fuca, fuca fuca. The nymph. With wide fingers. Oh, infamy! Bloom. I was precocious, youth, the fauna. I sacrificed to the god of the forest. The flowers that bloom in the spring. It was pairing time. Capillary attraction is a natural phenomenon. Lottie Clark, flaxen-haired, I saw at her night toilet, through ill-closed curtains with poor papa's opera glasses. The wanton ate grass wildly. She rolled downhill at Rialto Bridge to tempt me with her flow of animal spirits. She climbed their crooked tree and a saint couldn't resist it. The demon possessed me. Besides, who saw? Staggering Bob, a white-poled calf, thrusts a ruminating head with humid nostrils through the foliage. Staggering Bob. Large teardrops rolling from his prominent eyes, snivels. Me? Me see? Bloom. Simply satisfying a need, with pathos. No girl would when I went girling. Too ugly. They wouldn't play. High on Benhoath, through rhododendrons, a nanny goat passes, plump-pudded, butty-tailed, dropping currants. The nanny goat. Bleats.
Meg-a-geg-a-geg. Na-na-na-na-na-nanny.
Bloom. Hatless, flushed, covered with burrs of thistledown and gorse-pine. Regularly engaged. Circumstances alter cases. He gazes intently downwards on the water. 32 head over heels per second. Press nightmare. Giddy Elijah. Fall from cliff. Sad end of government printer's clerk. Through silver silent summer air, the dummy of Bloom, rolled in a mummy,
rolls rotatingly from the Lion's Head cliff into the purple waiting waters. The dummy mummy. Far out in the bay, between Bailey and Kish lights, the Aaron's King sails, sending a broadening plume of coal smoke from her funnel towards the land. Councillor Nanetti, alone on deck, in dark alpaca, yellow kite-faced, his hand in his waistcoat opening, declaims,
"When my country takes her place among the nations of the earth, then and not till then let my epitaph be written. I have..."
Bloom.
"Done."
The nymph, loftily. "We immortals, as you saw today, have not such a place and no hair there either. We are stone cold and pure. We eat electric light." She arches her body in lascivious crispation, placing her forefinger in her mouth. "Spoke to me, heard from behind. How then could you?" Bloom, pawing the heather abjectly.
"Oh, I have been a perfect pig. Enemas too I have administered. 1/3 of a pint of quassia, to which add a tablespoon of rock salt. Up the fundament, with Hamilton Long syringe, the lady's friend."
The nymph.
"In my presence, the powder puff."
She blushes and makes a knee.
"And the rest."
Bloom. Dejected.
"Yes, Peccavi. I have paid homage on that living altar where the back changes name."
With sudden fervour.
"For why should the dainty scented jewelled hand, the hand that rules..."
Figures wind serpenting in slow woodland pattern around the tree stems, cooing. The voice of Kitty in the thicket.
"Show us one of them cushions."
The voice of Florrie.
"Here."
A grouse wings clumsily through the underwood. The voice of Lynch in the thicket.
"Whew! Piping hot."
The voice of Zoe in the thicket.
"Came from a hot place."
The voice of Virag. A bird chief, blue streaked and feathered in war panoply, with his assegai striding through a crackling canebrake over beech mast and acorns.
"Hot, hot, where Sitting Bull?"
Bloom. "It overpowers me, the warm impress of her warm form. Even to sit where a woman has sat, especially with divaricated ties, as though to grant the last favours, most especially with previously well-uplifted white sateen coat pan. So womanly, full. It fills me full." The waterfall.
"Filla fulla, pula fuca, pula fuca. Pula fuca."
The ewes.
"Shh, sister, speak."
The nymph. Eyeless, in nun's white habit, coif and huge winged wimple, softly, with the remote eyes.
"Tranquilla convent, Sister Agatha, Mount Carmel, the apparitions of Knock and Lourdes. No more desire. She reclines her head, sighing. Only the ethereal, where dreamy, creamy gull waves o'er the waters dull.
Bloom half rises. His back trouser button snaps. The button.
Bip!
Two sluts of the comb dance rainily by, shawled, yelling flatly. The sluts.
Oh, Leopold lost the pin of his drawers. He didn't know what to do. To keep it up, to keep it up.
Bloom, coldly.
You have broken the spell. The last straw. If there were only ethereal, where would you all be? Postulants and novices, shy but willing, like an ass pissing.
The ewes, their silver foil of leaves precipitating, their skinny arms aging and swaying.
Deciduously.
The nymph, her features hardening, gropes in the folds of her habit.
Sacrilege, to attempt my virtue.
A large, moist stain appears on her robe.
Sully my innocence. You are not fit to touch the garment of a pure woman.
She clutches again in her robe.
Wait, Satan. You'll sing no more love songs. Amen. 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 Amen.
She draws a poniard and, clad in the sheath mail of an elected knight of nine, strikes at his loins.
Necum.
Bloom starts up, seizes her hand.
Hoy, Nebragada, cat o' nine lives.
Fair play, madam. No pruning knife. The fox and the grapes, is it? What do you lack with your barbed wire? Crucifix not thick enough.
He clutches her veil.
A holy abbot you want, or Brophy, the lame gardener, or the spoutless statue of the water carrier, or good mother Alphonsus. Eh, Reynard?
The nymph, with a cry, flees from him, unveiled, her plaster cast cracking, a cloud of stench escaping from the cracks.
Polly!
Bloom calls after her.
As if you didn't get it on the double yourselves.
No jerks and multiple mucosities all over you.
I tried it. Your strength, our weakness. What's our stud fee? What will you pay on the nail? You fee men dancers on the Riviera, I read.
The fleeing nymph raises a keen.
Eh? I have 16 years of black slave labour behind me. And would a jury give me 5 shillings alimony tomorrow? Eh? Fool someone else, not me.
He sniffs.
Rot, onions, stale, sulphur, grease.
The figure of Bella Cohen stands before him. Bella.
You'll know me the next time.
Bloom, composed, regards her.
Passé. Mutton dressed as lamb, long in the tooth and superfluous hair. A raw onion the last thing at night would benefit your complexion. And take some double chin drill. Your eyes are as vapid as the glass eyes of your stuffed fox. They have the dimensions of your other features, that's all. I'm not a triple screw propeller.
Bella, contemptuously.
You're not game, in fact.
Her sow cunt barks. Bloom, contemptuously.
Clean your nailless middle finger first. Your bully's cold spunk is dripping from your coxcomb. Take a handful of hay and wipe yourself.
Bella.
I know you, canvasser, dead cod.
Bloom.
I saw him, kip-keeper, pox and gleet vendor.
Bella turns to the piano.
Which of you was playing the dead march from Saul?
Zoe.
Me. Mind your cornflowers.
She darts to the piano and bangs chords on it with crossed arms.
The cat's rambled through the slag.
She glances back.
Eh? Who's making love to my sweeties?
She darts back to the table.
What's yours is mine, and what's mine is my own.
Kitty, disconcerted, coats her teeth with the silver paper. Bloom approaches Zoe.
Bloom, gently. Give me back that potato, will you?
Zoe.
Forfeit's a fine thing, and a superfine thing.
Bloom, with feeling.
It is nothing but still a relic of poor mamma.
Zoe.
Give a thing and take it back. God'll ask you where is that. You'll say you don't know. God'll send you down below.
Bloom.
There is a memory attached to it. I should like to have it.
Stephen.
To have or not to have, that is the question.
Zoe.
Here.
She hauls up a reef of her slip, revealing her bare thigh, and unrolls the potato from the top of her stocking.
Those that hides knows where to find.
Bella frowns.
Here, this isn't a musical peep show. And don't you smash that piano. Who's paying here?
She goes to the pianola. Stephen fumbles in his pocket and, taking out a banknote by its corner, hands it to her.
Stephen,
with exaggerated politeness.
This silken purse I made out of the sow's ear of the public.
Madam, excuse me.
If you allow me.
He indicates vaguely Lynch and Bloom.
We are all in the same sweepstake. Kinch and Lynch. Dans ce bordel où tenons notre état.
Lynch calls from the hearth.
Dedalus, give her your blessing for me.
Stephen hands Bella a coin.
Gold. She has it.
Bella looks at the money, then at Stephen, then at Zoe, Florrie and Kitty.
Do you want three girls? It's 10 shillings here.
Stephen, delightedly.
100,000 apologies.
He fumbles again and takes out and hands her 2 crowns.
Permit.
Brevi manu.
My sight is somewhat troubled.
Bella goes to the table to count the money, while Stephen talks to himself in monosyllables. Zoe bends over the table. Kitty leans over Zoe's neck. Lynch gets up, rights his cap, and, clasping Kitty's waist, adds his head to the group.
Florrie strives heavily to rise. Ow! My foot's asleep!
She limps over to the table, Bloom approaches. Bella, Zoe, Kitty, Lynch, Bloom. Chattering and squabbling.
The gentleman...
10 shillings.
Paying for the three. Allow me a moment. This gentleman pays separate.
Who's touching it?
Ow! Mind who you're pinching.
Are you staying the night or a short time?
Who did? You're a liar. Excuse me. The gentleman paid down like a gentleman. Drink. It's long after 11.
Stephen, at the pianola, making a gesture of abhorrence.
No bottles.
What?
11? A riddle.
Zoe, lifting up her petty gown and folding a half sovereign into the top of her stocking.
Hard earned on the flat of my back.
Lynch, lifting Kitty from the table.
Come.
Kitty.
Wait.
She clutches the 2 crowns. Florrie.
And me?
Lynch.
Hoopla.
He lifts her, carries her, and bumps her down on the sofa. Stephen.
The fox crew, the cocks flew, the bells in heaven were striking 11. 'Tis time for her poor soul to get out of heaven.
Bloom quietly lays a half sovereign on the table between Bella and Florrie.
So, allow me.
He takes up the pound note.
3 times 10. We're square.
Bella, admiringly.
You're such a sly boots, old cocky. I could kiss you.
Zoe points.
Him, deep as a draw-well.
Lynch bends Kitty back over the sofa and kisses her. Bloom goes with the pound note to Stephen. Bloom.
This is yours.
Stephen.
How is that? The distrait or absent-minded beggar?
He fumbles again in his pocket and draws out a handful of coins. An object falls.
That fell.
Bloom, stooping, picks up and hands a box of matches.
This.
Stephen.
Lucifer.
Thanks. Bloom, quietly.
You had better hand over that cash to me to take care of. Why pay more?
Stephen hands him all his coins.
Be just before you are generous.
Bloom.
I will, but is it wise?
He counts.
1, 7, 11, and 5, 6, 11. I don't answer for what you may have lost.
Stephen.
Why striking 11? Proparoxetine. Moment before the next, Lessing says. Thirsty fox.
He laughs loudly.
Burying his grandmother. Probably he killed her.
Bloom.
That is 1 pound 6 and 11. 1 pound 7, say.
Stephen.
Doesn't matter a rambling damn.
Bloom.
No, but...
Stephen. Comes to the table.
Cigarette, please.
Lynch tosses a cigarette from the sofa to the table.
And so Georgina Johnson is dead and married.
A cigarette appears on the table. Stephen looks at it.
Wonder. Parlour magic. Married.
He strikes a match and proceeds to light the cigarette with enigmatic melancholy. Lynch, watching him.
You would have a better chance of lighting it if you held the match nearer.
Stephen brings the match near his eye.
Lynx eye.
Must get glasses.
Broke them yesterday.
16 years ago. Distance. The eye sees all flat. He draws the match away. It goes out.
Brain thinks.
Near.
Far.
Ineluctable modality of the visible. He frowns mysteriously.
Sphinx. The beast that has two backs at midnight.
Married.
Zoe. It was a commercial traveller married her and took her away with him.
Florrie nods.
Mr. Lamb from London.
Stephen.
Lamb of London, who takest away the sins of our world.
Lynch, embracing Kitty on the sofa, chants deeply.
Dona nobis pacem.
The cigarette slips from Stephen's fingers. Bloom picks it up and throws it in the grate.
Bloom. Don't smoke. You ought to eat.
Cursed dog I met.
To Zoe.
You have nothing.
Zoe.
Is he hungry?
Stephen extends his hand to her smiling and chants to the air of the blood oath in the dusk of the gods.
Hungenda hunger. Fragenda Frau, macht uns alle kaputt.
Zoe, tragically.
Hamlet, I am thy father's gimlet.
She takes his hand.
Blue eyes, beauty, I'll read your hand.
She points to his forehead.
No wit, no wrinkles.
She counts.
2, 3, Mars. That's courage.
Stephen shakes his head.
No, kid.
Lynch.
Sheet lightning courage. The youth who could not shiver and shake.
To Zoe.
Who taught you palmistry?
Zoe turns.
Ask my bollocks that I haven't got.
To Stephen.
I see it in your face. The eye, like that.
She frowns with lowered head. Lynch, laughing, slaps Kitty behind twice.
Like that, pandybat.
Twice loudly, a pandybat cracks. The coffin of the pianola flies open. The bald, little round jack-in-the-box head of Father Dolan springs up. Father Dolan.
Any boy want flogging? Broke his glasses? Lazy, idle little schemer. See it in your eye.
Mild, benign, rectorial, reproving. The head of Don John Conmee rises from the pianola coffin. Don John Conmee.
Now, Father Dolan, now I'm sure that Stephen is a very good little boy.
Zoe, examining Stephen's palm.
Woman's hand.
Stephen murmurs.
Continue. Lie. Hold me, caress. I never could read his handwriting, except his criminal thumbprint on the haddock.
Zoe.
What day were you born?
Stephen. Thursday. Today.
Zoe. Thursday's child has far to go. She traces lines on his hand. Line of fate. Influential friends. Florrie, pointing. Imagination. Zoe. Mount of the moon. You'll meet with a... She peers at his hands abruptly. I won't tell you what's not good for you. Or do you want to know?
Bloom. Detaches her fingers and offers his palm.
More harm than good. Here, read mine.
Bella.
Show.
She turns up Bloom's hand.
I thought so. Knobby knuckles for the women.
Zoe, peering at Bloom's palm.
Gridiron. Travels beyond the sea and marry money.
Bloom.
Wrong.
Zoe, quickly.
Oh, I see. Short little finger. Hen-pecked husband.
That wrong?
Black Liz, a huge rooster hatching in a chalked circle, rises, stretches her wings, and clucks. Black Liz.
Ka-ra! Cluck, cluck, cluck.
She sidles from her new-laid egg and waddles off. Bloom points to his hand.
That wheel there is an accident. Felon cut it 22 years ago. I was 16.
Zoe.
I see, says the blind man. Tell us news.
Stephen.
See? Moves to one great goal. I am 22. 16 years ago, he was 22, too. 16 years ago, I 22 tumbled. 22 years ago, he 16 fell off his hobby horse.
He winces.
Hurt my hand somewhere. Must see a dentist.
Money? Zoe whispers to Florrie. They giggle. Bloom releases his hand and writes idly on the table in backhand, penciling slow curves.
Florrie. What?
A Hackney car, number 324, with a gallant, buttocked mare, driven by James Barton, Harmony Avenue, Donnybrook, trots past. Blazes Boylan and Lenehan sprawl swaying on the side seats. The Ormond Boots crouches behind on the axle. Sadly, over the crossblind, Lydia Douce and Minna Kennedy gaze.
The Boots.
Jogging mocks them with thumb and wriggling worm fingers.
Ha ha! Have you the horn?
Bronze by gold, they whisper.
Zoe to Florrie.
Whisper.
She whispers again. Over the well of the car, Blazes Boylan leans, his boater straw set sideways, a red flower in his mouth. Lenehan, in yachtsman's cap and white shoes, officiously detaches a long hair from Blazes Boylan's coat shoulder. Lenehan.
Oh, what do I here behold? Were you brushing the cobwebs off a few quims?
Boylan. Sated, smiles.
Plucking a turkey.
Lenehan.
A good night's work.
Boylan. Holding up four thick, blunt, ungulated fingers. Winks.
Blazes, Kate. Up to sample or your money back.
He holds out a forefinger.
Smell that.
Lenehan smells gleefully.
Ah, lobster and mayonnaise. Ah!
Zoe and Florrie laugh together.
Ha 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 ha!
Boylan jumps surely from the car and calls loudly for all to hear. "Hello, Bloom! Mrs. Bloom dressed yet?" Bloom, in flunkey's prune, plush coat and knee breeches, buff stockings and powdered wig. "I'm afraid not, sir. The last articles..." Boylan tosses him sixpence. "Here, to buy yourself a gin and splash." He hangs his hat smartly on a peg of Bloom's antlered head. "Show me in. I have a little private business with your wife. You understand?" Bloom. "Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Madam Tweedy is in her bath, sir." Marion. "He ought to feel himself highly honoured." She plops, splashing out of the water. "Raoul, darling, come and dry me. I'm in my pelt, only my new hat and a carriage sponge." Boylan, a merry twinkle in his eye. "Topping!" Bella. "What? What is it?" Zoe whispers to her. Marion. "Let him look, the pishog, pimp, and scourge himself. I'll write to a powerful prostitute, or Bartholomona, the bearded woman, to raise wheels out on him an inch thick, and make him bring me back a signed and stamped receipt." Boylan clasps himself. "Here, I can't hold this little lot much longer." He strides off on stiff cavalry legs. Bella, laughing. "Ho, ho, ho, ho." Boylan, to Bloom over his shoulder. "You can apply your eye to the keyhole and play with yourself while I just go through her a few times." Bloom. "Thank you, sir. I will, sir. May I bring two men chums to witness the deed and take a snapshot?" He holds out an ointment jar. "Vaseline, sir. Orange flower. Lukewarm water." Kitty, from the sofa. "Tell us, Florrie, tell us. What?" Florrie whispers to her. Whispering love words murmur. Lip lapping loudly. Poppy smick, plop slop. Minna Kennedy. Her eyes upturned. "Oh, it must be like the scent of geraniums and lovely peaches. Oh, he simply idolizes every bit of her. Stuck together, covered with kisses." Lydia Deuce. Her mouth opening. "Yum, yum. Oh, he's carrying her round the room, doing it. Ride a cock horse. You could hear them in Paris and New York. Like mouthfuls of strawberries and cream." Kitty, laughing. "Hee, hee, hee." Boylan's voice, sweetly, hoarsely, in the pit of his stomach. "Ah, God, please, broken crows." Marion's voice, hoarsely, sweetly, rising to her throat. "Oh, wish-washed kissing a poo-est than poo-hook." Bloom, his eyes wildly dilated, clasps himself. "Show, hide, show, plough her, more, shoot." Bella, Zoe, Florrie, Kitty. "Ho, ho, ha, 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 hee, hee, hee." Lynch points. "The mirror up to nature." He laughs. Stephen and Bloom gaze in the mirror. The face of William Shakespeare, beardless, appears there, rigid in facial paralysis, crowned by the reflection of the reindeer antlered hat rack in the hall. Shakespeare, in dignified ventriloquy.
"'Tis the loud laugh bespeaks the vacant mind."
To Bloom,
"Thou thoughtest as how thou wastest invisible. Gaze."
He crows with a black capon's laugh.
"Iago-go."
"How, my old fellow, Chocket, his Thursday mornin',
Iago-go-go."
Bloom smiles yellowly at the three whores.
"When will I hear the joke?"
Zoe,
"Before you're twice married and once a widower."
Bloom,
"Lapses are condoned. Even the great Napoleon, when measurements were taken next the skin after his death."
Mrs. Dignam, widow woman, her snubbed nose and cheeks flushed with death talk, tears and Tunney's tawny sherry, hurries by in her weeds, her bonnet awry, rouging and powdering her cheeks, lips and nose, a pen chivying her brood of signets. Beneath her skirt appear her late husband's everyday trousers and turned-up boots, large eights. She holds a Scottish widow's insurance policy and a large marquee umbrella under which her brood run with her, Patsy hopping on one shod foot, his collar loose, a hank of pork steaks dangling, Freddy whimpering, Susie with a crying cod's mouth, Alice struggling with the baby. She cuffs them on, her streamers flaunting aloft. Freddy,
"Ah, Ma, you're dragging me along."
Susie,
"Mama, the beef tea is fizzing over."
Shakespeare, with paralytic rage,
"Wedder sicker who killer fast."
The face of Martin Cunningham, bearded, refeatures Shakespeare's beardless face. The marquee umbrella sways drunkenly. The children run aside. Under the umbrella appears Mrs. Cunningham in merry widow hat and kimono gown. She glides, sidling and bowing, twirling Japanesely. Mrs. Cunningham sings.
"And they call me the Jewel of Asia."
Martin Cunningham gazes on her impassive.
"Immense. Most bloody awful, demirep."
Stephen.
"Et exaltabuntur cornua justi. Queens lay with prize bulls. Remember Pasiphae, for whose lust my grand old grossfather made the first confession box. Forget not Madame Grisel Stevens, nor the suine scions of the House of Lambert. And Noah was drunk with wine, and his ark was open."
Bella.
"None of that here. Come to the wrong shop."
Lynch.
"Let him alone. He's back from Paris."
Zoe runs to Stephen and links him.
"Oh, go on. Give us some parley-vous."
Stephen claps hat on head and leaps over to the fireplace, where he stands with shrugged shoulders, finny hands outspread, a painted smile on his face. Lynch pommeling on the sofa.
Rum, 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 rum.
Stephen gabbles with marionette jerks.
1,000 places of entertainment to expense your evenings with lovely ladies, sailing gloves and other things. Perhaps hers heart, beer chops, perfect fashionable house, very eccentric, where lots cocottes, beautiful dressed, much about princesses, like our dancing can-can and walking their Parisian clowneries, extra foolish for bachelors, foreigns, the same if talking a poor English, how much smart they are on things, love and sensations voluptuous. Mister's very selects for his pleasure must to visit heaven and hell, show with mortuary candles, and they tears silver which occur every night. Perfectly shocking, terrific of religion's things, mockery seen in universal world. All chic womans which arrive full of modesty then disrobe and squeal loud to see vampire man debauch nun, very fresh young, with des sous-trous blancs. He clacks his tongue loudly. Oh, la la, ce pif qui la!
Lynch. Vive le vampire!
The whores.
Bravo, parlez-vous?
Stephen, with head back, laughs loudly, clapping himself, grimacing. Great success of laughing. Angels, much prostitutes like, and holy apostles, big damn ruffians. Demi-mundanes, nicely handsome, sparkling of diamonds, very amiable costume. Or do you are fond better what belongs they moderns, pleasure, turpitude of old man's? He points about him with grotesque gestures, which Lynch and the whores reply to. Caoutchouc statue woman, reversible, or life-size Tom Peep Tom of virgin's nudities, very lesbic, the kiss 5-10 times? Enter gentleman, to see in mirror every positions, trapezes, all that machine there. Besides also, if desire, act awfully bestial butcher's boy, pollutes in warm the liver, or omelette on the belly, pièce de Shakespeare. Bella, clapping her belly, sinks back on the sofa with a shout of laughter.
An omelette on the... Ho-ho-ho-ho! Omelette on the...
Stephen, mincingly.
I love you, sir, darling. Speak you Englishman tongue for double entente cordial? Oh, yes, mon loup. How much cost? Waterloo, water closet.
He ceases suddenly and holds up a forefinger. Bella, laughing.
Omelette.
The whores, laughing.
Encore, encore.
Stephen.
Mark me, I dreamt of a watermelon.
Zoe.
Go abroad and love a foreign lady.
Lynch.
Across the world for a wife.
Florrie.
Dreams goes by contraries.
Stephen. Extends his arms.
It was here, street of harlots, in Serpentine Avenue, Beelzebub showed me her, a fubsy widow. Where's the red carpet spread?
Bloom, approaching Stephen.
Look.
Stephen.
No, I flew, my foes beneath me, and ever shall be, world without end. He cries. Pater, free.
Bloom.
I say, look.
Stephen.
Break my spirit, will he? Oh, mere the law,
he cries, his vulture talons sharpened.
Hola!
Hillio. Simon Dedalus's voice hillos in answer, somewhat sleepy, but ready. Simon.
That's all right.
He swoops uncertainly through the air, wheeling, uttering cries of heartening, on strong, ponderous, buzzard wings.
Oh, boy, are you going to win? Hoop, shat. Stable with those half-castes. Wouldn't let them within the ball of an ass. Head up. Keep our flag flying. An eagle, gules volant, in a field argent displayed. Ulster King arms. Hi, whoop.
He makes the beagle's call, giving tongue.
Bull, bull, burr, bull, 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 burr, bull, bull, bull. Hi, boy.
The fronds and spaces of the wallpaper file rapidly cross-country. A stout fox drawn from covert, brush-pointed, having buried his grandmother, runs swift for the open, bright-eyed, seeking badger earth under the leaves. The pack of staghounds follows, nose to the ground, sniffing their quarry. Beagle-baying, burble-bling, to be blooded. Ward Union huntsmen and huntswomen live with them, hot for a kill. From 6 Mile Point, Flat House, 9 Mile Stone, follow the foot people with knotty sticks, hay forks, salmon gaffs, lassoos, flock masters with stock whips, bear baiters with tom-toms, toreadors with bull swords, grey negroes waving torches. The crowd, balls of dicers, crown and anchor players, thimble riggers, broadsmen. Crows and touts, hoarse buckies in high wizard hats, clamour deafeningly. The crowd.
Card of the races, racing card. 10-1 the field. Tommy on the clay here, Tommy on the clay. 10-1 bar one, 10-1 bar one. Try your luck on spinning Jenny. 10-1 bar one. Sell the monkey, boys. Sell the monkey. I'll give 10-1. 10-1 bar one.
A dark horse, riderless, bolts like a phantom past the winning post, his mane moon foaming, his eyeball stars. The field follows, a bunch of bucking mounts, skeleton horses, Scepter, Maximum the Second, Zinfandel, the Duke of Westminster's Shotover, Repulse, the Duke of Beaufort's Ceylon, Prix de Paris. Dwarfs ride them, rusty armoured, leaping, leaping in their saddles, last in a drizzle of rain on a broken-winded Isabel Nag, Cock of the North, the favourite, honey cap, green jacket, orange sleeves. Garrett Deasy up, gripping the reins, a hockey stick at the ready. His nag on spavin, white-gated feet jogs along the rocky road. The orange lodges, jeering.
Get down and push, mister. Last lap. You'll be home the night.
Garrett Deasy, bolt upright, his nail-scraped face plastered with postage stamps, brandishes his hockey stick, his blue eyes flashing in the prism of the chandelier as his mount lopes by at schooling gallop.
Per vias rectus!
A yoke of buckets, leopards all over him, and his rearing nag, a torrent of mutton broth, with dancing coins of carrots, barley, onions, turnips, potatoes. The green lodges.
Soft day, Sir John. Soft day, Your Honour.
This ends Disc 29.